buckle up and hold on. At our church, we love God. Make no mistake about that. At our church, we believe in God's radical, unconditional, and unwavering love for us. At our church, we believe that Jesus is God. We also affirm that you may or may not believe that Jesus is God. And we're not asking you to change your belief system before you attend our church. We're simply inviting you on a journey toward Jesus. For years, churches have placed a high priority on Jesus as the get-out-of-hell-free card. At our church, we place the highest priority on Jesus as a live life to the fullest invitation. At our church, we believe every person has a dream deep inside their hearts, and that God put that dream there, not for our glory, but for His. At our church, we're not concerned with where you've been, but where you're going. At our church, we believe that the Bible is God's Word. It is real. It is living. It is active. We believe that people who don't go to church anywhere are not the enemy. They are real people who need the perfect love that only God can give. And we believe that God gives this love through, of all people, us. At our church, we do not and we will not display a holier-than-thou attitude toward anyone. We are all broken people, but He is putting us back together. And finally, and most importantly, at our church, we believe that Jesus really lived, that He really died on a cross, and that He really rose again on the third day. And we cannot and we will not candy coat or water down that message, ever. Today, you've chosen to sit yourself in the middle of a very safe place to hear a potentially dangerous message. Welcome to our church.
That's a hard question. That's a loaded question.
Fulfillment of life, liberty, and the pursuit of freedom.
Happiness. That's it, no matter what.
Happiness, I guess.
What are you really looking for?
Happiness.
Okay, how do you think you'll find it?
I don't know, be content?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've found what I'm looking for.
Ever thought about it?
No.
What are you looking for out of life?
At this point, I really don't know. To be honest with you.
What am I looking for? I don't know, a way to be, stay healthy and make money?
Enjoyment in life.
Basically, all the thing I'm looking for is happiness.
Nothing that I ain't already found, man.
Happiness.
Peace of mind.
A normal life.
I think I kind of found what I was looking for.
Money.
Where would you find that?
I don't know. More work.
What are you looking for out of life?
Success.
Happiness.
How are you going to get success and happiness?
Hard work.
Work.
What are you looking for?
Peace.
How do you think you'll find it?
I don't know.
Not looking for anything.
What are you looking for spiritually?
I have no spirituality.
What am I looking for? I'm looking for happiness, I guess.
How do you find it?
By being a good person.
What are you looking for out of life?
Peace of mind.
To be happy.
Enlightenment.
How do you get that?
Within myself.
Just kind of surround yourself with things that make you happy.
I don't know. I think that's the journey of life.
Where have you looked for it?
Self-help books. To be honest.
What are you looking for out of life?
Happiness.
How do you get that?
I'm searching.
Where have you been searching?
I suppose through my external activities, kind of my family, my husband.
Is it working?
A little bit.
What are you looking for?
What am I looking for in life? I just want to be a good person, you know?
How do you think you get to that point?
Being content with yourself, having someone, you know, to love, someone to love you, you know, being content when you walk down the street, you don't have to worry about nothing, you know.
You think you're content right now?
Yeah, I think I'm all right.
The million-dollar question is, what are you looking for? What are you? Take this off the screen. Take the video away. I'm asking you to ask yourself, search your heart, what are you looking for in life? That's really the nutshell, the framework of your life. You see, what you pursue, what you're looking for, will set your direction. What it is that you feel you need and what you pursue will dictate what it is that you see out on your horizon. Are you looking for happiness? Don't. It's a cheap imitation of joy. Are you looking for money? It will fade away. Are you looking for power? The world laughs at power. You're only powerful in your own mind, and typically for just a brief, brief time. What is it that you're looking for in life? I'm going to take you into God's Word, and we're going to continue our series. We're going to go into James chapter 5. Let me just give you the first opening lines, the first few words of the chapter 5 of James. Listen to what God's Word says just out of the gate. Now listen, you rich people. Now listen, you rich people. He says it just like we would. It's kind of a finger in your face attitude. Now listen, you rich people. And I know what you're saying. Most of us right now say, well, came on the wrong week because I'm not rich. Okay, that'd be great if I were rich. I guess everything you're about to say applies to somebody else. Don't go anywhere. Don't check out. Because you see, rich is a relative term. Those who are rich always point to somebody else who is richer. It's a very relative term. And I want you to understand that God's Word, James is speaking to those of us who think that we have enough to not need Jesus. The people in that video, what are you looking for? You see, I think sometimes that we are plagued by the disease of too much. We have so much. We don't feel that we need a relationship with Jesus. I tell people when they, our old friends that talked about us coming to as missionaries to Ken Island, say, where are you going? I said, we're going to where we're going to need to sell ice to Eskimos. We're going to a place where everybody says, are you kidding me? Life is good, man. A couple of beamers, a boat. I live on the water. Beautiful kids. When you look at us from the outside, we are beautiful. We need nothing. Well, I want you to know, because of God's gift and my call, I have the responsibility and the privilege of turning you to look inside. See, I could care less what the world thinks. I want you to look inside because I know the spot, the hole that is inside each and every one of us that is outside of a vibrant, healthy relationship with Christ. I was one of those rich people who the world said, wow, and I said, ouch. I know what it is to have a hole where everybody else thinks you have a trophy. And I want you to know that God wants you to know that He knows that you have a hole waiting for Him to fill. And if you think, well, yeah, but still I'm not rich, I want to share with you just a quick global perspective. The average median income per capita in the United States is $37,600. And we say here on Ken Island, which is our average, is almost double that. That's average? Wow. Be tough to get by on that. Do you know that the average global income is $5,500 a year? We as average Americans live with a standard that is over five times that of the average global citizen. Now I ask you, how rich does your neighbor have to be for you to think of him as rich? Five times more than whatever your pile of stuff is? There are 51 countries, according to the World Bank, with an average annual median income of less than $1,000. That means that there are 51 countries where the average person makes less than $1,000 a year. That means that our average people, and most of us far exceed the average, would make somewhere between 37 to 75 times more than the average person in 51 different countries around the world. Let me again open up God's Word to you and make sure that this sticks. Now listen, you rich people. Today's word is for you and for me. Don't let anybody kid you. When you understand things from the broadest perspective, we are all rich. The worst of poverty in our community is like living in a country club compared to the average person in over 50 countries around the world. So this is for us, lest we write off this to the affluent and the upper crust of our society. Let me share with you God's word. I want to read to you now the second half of verse 1 through verse 3 of chapter 5. I'll start from the beginning. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. My friends, you are here in a series that I have entitled Looks Can Be Deceiving as we study the book of James. If you are on top of the world by the world standards, I want you to know looks can be deceiving. Outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have nothing. You have an express ticket to an eternity absent of a relationship with the one true living God. That's a long way of saying hell. The challenge for us, typically, is that we have so much that we don't feel we need this life-saving relationship with Christ. We live in a world of abundance. You see, when you're broken, when you feel like you have nothing else, when it is as if you were alone without hope, Jesus stands bright. He's illuminated, and it's so obvious that we need him. But in our abundance and in our comfort, in the ills and the spoils of our life, in the gray area, if you will, where it's really not so bad, it's not like I'm killing people, I'm just not loving Jesus, we can be taken away, carried off to oblivion in comfort. The sad irony is, as we march on to eternal damnation, we're whistling a happy tune because life is good. The problem is it's only 50 or 100 years out of forever. Out of forever. I have a clip that I want to show you. It's called Set Me Free. Jesus, set me free. You may not be Bill Gates. You may not be sitting on a pile of what you believe to be wealth and riches. But if you're insulated and comfortable enough to not feel an absolute desperate need to be with Christ, then you need to be set free. Some of the bondage, some of the chains will look like what we think of as bondage and chains. However, some of the bondage and some of the chains that we need to be set free from won't look like chains at all. But anything that comes between us and Christ needs to be broken and removed. And if you will cry out to Christ, he will come to you wherever you are. Amen. And he will set you free.
Someone hears me cry. carries me away. Send me free. Finds me crying in the rain, all alone with my demons I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Set me free.
And Casting Crown in that song says, is anybody out there listening? I want you to know that if you're a part of a real deal church, a family of God, that you've got brothers and sisters that are listening. Brothers and sisters who care and will not leave you. Ones that will hold your arms up when you become too weary, and yet we pale by comparison to the master listener, the loving heart. Christ not only is willing and wanting to deliver, but he is loving and caring. His heart breaks when your heart breaks. Mostly because he knows that you are going through unnecessary pain. You see, there's no promise of easy streets and Cadillacs if you come to Christ. The storms will rage on. They may intensify. But you do not have to feel the foot of the enemy on your throat. You do not have to feel the fear and the pain and the anguish, the sense of hopelessness. Because as a child of God with Christ, you have everything. The Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote half the New Testament under the inspiration of God, went to God and said, would you please remove this thorn from my side? I'm doing all I can do for you, and this thing is brutal. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient. And while I will not take the thorn away, I will see to it that you have a peace and a joy and an understanding that will carry you through, not around. I don't promise to blow the storms away. I promise to hold you in my hand and march right through the middle of that typhoon with the guarantee that you will get to the other side. Now, the other side, it may not be in the timing that we like. It may not have the attributes and the characteristics and the surrounding and the environment that we would choose during our short 50 to 100 years or so here. But oh my, the promise is so much bigger than 50 or 100 years. The guarantee and the promise is that if you will come to Him, if you will let Him set you free, you have eternity. The hymn says, when we've been there 10,000 years and we're no closer to the end than when we began. That's the promise. We, as Western Americans, have so much that sometimes we lose sight, not only of the need, but of the joy that comes. Not in our stuff, which is so fleeting. My goodness, one phone call, one medical emergency, one hiccup across the globe and your 401k could come crashing down. One change of political power on the other side of the planet and all of a sudden your retirement is gone. That stuff is nothing. And those of us, James says, that hold to our riches as our security, as the giver of our relief or our happiness, we hold on to something that we think looks like treasure, and in God's eyes it's rotting, corrosive, damaging to our soul. Now again, in the event somebody were to say, yeah, you don't understand, man, I struggle just to rub two nickels together. I'm on public assistance. I'm not rich. You're not speaking to me. You can't relate. You don't understand my real world. I thought you said the bridge is all about real deal, where the rubber hits the road. Well, my friends, if you don't think this applies to you, you need to spend some time in China. You need to spend some time in Burma. You need to see the reality of just how blessed we are. The fact that you can get what you need puts us in the elite on a global perspective. But in case you think I'm just full of hot air, let me take you a little bit further to verse 5. I pray this doesn't leave anybody. I pray that you understand that God is speaking to all of us. He says, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have lived your life in luxury and self-indulgence. Now that, my friends, is not limited to a certain amount of money. That's a mindset. That's an attitude. That's living in a way and in a place with priorities that say it's all about me. Or at least the vast majority is about me. I'll go ahead and carve out some time. I'll help the poor, quote unquote. I'll do some good deeds. I'll try to be a nice person. But in reality, again, by default, as a Western American within the hearing of this message, you live in luxury whether you know it or not. And outside of living committed to Christ, we live in self-indulgence. That's the default position. You see, when we talk about a radical transformation in becoming a believer, a fully devoted follower of Christ, fully devoted follower, that's where the me part of the equation gets bumped out. And anything less than a fully devoted follower of Christ is one living with a heavy, if not predominant, portion focused on self. And what we're told in God's Word is we can have a fairly decent ride for 50 or 100 years, although in reality, most of you know that that's not so either, because you live with that haunting wanting for more, that haunting knowing that there's got to be more to life, the haunting knowing that if you don't get right within a certain amount of time, you're running out of time, and you're scared to death of the abyss that awaits on the other side, outside of that vibrant relationship with Christ. Well, I want you to know once again, and I'm driving home the point, because there is no more important point in all of life than to know that Jesus can take care of everything and set you free. Whatever it may be that's holding you back, your pride, your comfort, your fear that you've been too bad, that God's grace won't reach you. You're wanting to roll the dice on still doing it on your own, thinking, well, how bad could it really be? I again want to show you a drama that speaks to the everything of God's grace, the everything of your answer, and to know He loves you. And no matter what, He wants to give you the gift of grace. And He will fight for you. And He will meet you wherever you are. He will work through the clouds and the corruption and the evil if you'll only want Him with your heart. Take a look at how some young people from a church put that into a drama.
You are the strength.
That, my friends, is the promise. That is the picture. For your soul in the heavenlies, pulling, drawing you close. You say, well, that's fictitious. You're just playing on our emotions. The cross is real. The love that would hold him to the cross was real. This is nothing compared to what is happening for you and towards you, that you would never, ever, ever know the haunting feeling of being pushed down, pounded down, and unable to get up. The realities of the storms that you face are real. And I understand there are some that would say to me today, okay, Pastor Jeff, I want that, but you don't understand. I am neck deep in alligators. You don't understand what it's like. My world is real. Well, I want you to know those were real nails that held him to the cross. It was real blood that came from him. It was a real tomb that he came out of when he said, I know. I have been there and then some. I know, and I promise you, there isn't anything that you're going to go through that I can't carry you through. But you got to get a ticket. You see, you've got to get on board. You've got to get in the family. You've got to allow me to adopt you if you want the privileges of sonhood and daughterhood. If you want what I can give you, you have to accept what I can give you. Somebody said, well, I just don't know. You don't understand the nightmare of my reality. You don't understand the depths of the pit that I have come out of. You don't understand. It's right here, right now, this second. I am in the crosshairs. Listen to God's word in verse 8 of our passage. James tells us through the inspiration of Almighty God in the love and the truth of Jesus Christ, the one who wants to give you the answer to everything. He says, be patient, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Be patient and stand firm. The Lord's coming is near. What do? You live in the peace, in the comfort, in the truth, in the knowing of God's love. If you will accept his gift of grace, if you will give your life to him, he says, I will give you the patience that brings with it a peace that passes all understanding, and I will give you joy where others seek mere happiness. You can stand in the midst of the storm, confident, comfortable, and at peace if you will accept what I have for you. Now, the challenge is, how do you do it? What does it take? It takes a choice. You see, our feelings can deceive us. We need to choose to worship God. We need to choose to accept his gift of grace. We have to choose that without him we are nothing. To acknowledge that I cannot do it on my own. I cannot get through this. I may be highly intelligent. I may have wealth and resource. I may have power and prestige. And yet in the here and now of my crisis, where it matters most in my heart and in my eternity, I can do nothing alone. Bill Gates, Rupert Murdoch, I don't care who you are. You can do nothing on your own in the place that matters the most. And I would say to you, if you'll lift your head up and not look at just the 50 to 100 years that represent your short-term horizon, and if you will look out with an eternal perspective, you will see that you can do nothing outside of resting. Oh, what a beautiful rest it is to simply rest in the peace and in the gift of God's love. I want to get very practical with you, because I can share all the theological truth in the world. I can give you a roadmap, but if you don't take those steps, it's like having a winning lottery ticket that you never turn in. The reality is you had it, and the reality is it meant nothing outside of you cashing it in. So how do we do this, Pastor Jeff? How do I break out of the inertia of my fear, of my trouble? I understand what you say. I believe in my head. But right now, I have such a hard time putting a hug in my heart around this truth. What do I do? Here it is. You got to choose to focus on who you are and what you have in Christ instead of who you are and what you have or don't have in your circumstance. You have to make that choice. As tough as you may feel that it is, you must choose to see the after picture and not focus on the before. You must choose grace. You must choose mercy. You must choose to be weak. You must choose to empty yourself out of pride. You must choose humility. You must choose brokenness. You must choose Christ. I promise you. I promise you, as I stand on God's word and I serve you as his servant representative, I promise you, and in the power and in the love and in the truth of God, if you will become an empty, broken vessel and allow him to fill you up, you will know a strength and a peace and a joy that this world does not know, that you cannot get anywhere else. Amen. And it will carry you to the promised land. You may have one more day before God brings you to the fork of eternity, or you may have another 100 years. I can't talk to you about the journey other than to say it's a heck of a lot better with Christ than without him. Amen. But I can guarantee you about the destination. If you will accept Christ, if you will live in the here and now, knowing who you are in the after portrait, and lift your head, as heavy as it may be, as much pressure as the devil may try to push you down, if you will lift your eyes and your gaze to Christ, if you will live in the reality of who you are in him and with him, there is nothing that will steal your joy now. There is nothing that will hold you down now. There is nothing that will keep you from living in victory. If you will see yourself in your after picture instead of continuing to hold on to your before picture. I have one more clip that I want to show you, and it's the folks from Hillside Church grabbing a hold of this reality. It's called Your Cardboard Testimony. You're going to see some people who have captured, and I challenge you and I plead with you to please, please, please do the same thing in your own heart. You're going to see some folks who have captured their before pictures, and they're going to share it with you on one side of cardboard. And they know that they know that they know their after picture in Christ. And they share that with you too. I pray it will inspire you. I pray it will drop you to your knees. I pray it will lead you to worship and a confidence in Christ that will give you peace and joy unlike anything you have ever known. Take a look at our friends from Hillside.
What would be my cardboard testimony and the kingdom of heaven to those? And this is what my testimony is.
blows like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way.
Oh.
think after three times it just wouldn't be as emotional? I said, I have a question for you. What if we're your welcoming committee in the kingdom of heaven? What if because of how you use your resources, this is who welcomes you into the eternal dwellings? I believe Jesus is very serious about this, and every one of you could write your cardboard testimony. There is no doubt. But the biggest lie Satan wants to sell us is, oh, he doesn't need my money. That church doesn't need this. We don't. It's not what we're to worry about. What we're to concern ourselves with is, God, are you changing lives powerfully? And where can I invest? And wherever we receive our spiritual nourishment, our own local church home that we attend or are members of, that's where we invest. What if when you get to the kingdom of heaven, this is your welcoming committee? Let's pray.
Each and every one of us has a cardboard testimony. And if you say to me here today, Lord, help. Jeff, tell me, how can I go to the Lord? What do I need to do? You need to persevere, my friends. You need to persevere in the humility and in the love of God's grace. You can't muster up enough muscle. You can't think your way out. You can't buy relief. But everything you need is offered. The one true solution, capital S, is available to any one of us that is willing to write on both sides of that cardboard. If you are willing to admit who you were in the before and accept who God wants to make you in the after, you can get through. In our passage this morning in chapter 5 that goes to verse 11, I shared with you the heartbeat of verse 8. Verse 9 and 10 tell us to persevere and to remember the prophets who lived through the most trying and challenging of times. We're reminded of Job. For those of you that may not be familiar with the biblical story, Job was considered to be the most righteous of all on the earth. And he went down to the deepest valley that any man has ever been recorded to know. Lost everything. The devil wiped him out, rubbed his nose in it, and poured salt in every wound. And God was still in charge. It didn't mean that there wouldn't be struggle and strife. But we saw in Job the gift of perseverance and a side of God's love that doesn't get preached a whole lot today. You don't hear a lot of Job in the prosperity world. But Job is real, and he's every bit a reflection of God's love as the good and the sweet blessings that we all know and want. Because you see, God's love is the love that says no matter what. God's love is the love that says your circumstance and your environment do not change my love for you. Verse 11 closes our time today. God's word says this, as you know, and I pray that you know. If you don't know, let me know that you don't know, because I want to bring you to the foot of the cross, where this gift can be yours, guaranteed. Verse 11 of chapter 5 says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. You see, if you'll focus on heaven instead of here, you have a finally to get excited about. You have a forever to get excited about. The last part of verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The Lord is full. Not kind of, sort of, got a little on the side. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And he welcomes you into the source of that love that brings compassion and mercy and love and peace and joy for any and all who will say, I surrender and I accept this gift of grace. Worship team, if you'll come. Pray with me now, my friends. Pray that God will give you an unction to make your cardboard testimony. If not, to put out on a window someplace to carry in the window of your heart. That you will say comfortably, confidently, humbly, I am a sinner saved by grace. And I am now a child of God who lives in the promise and the potential of what it is to be a zealot for Christ. Father God, I come to you today and with a message like this that speaks so against our culture and our fallback positions. Lord, I pray that not fire and brimstone, but love and mercy will be what is heard. Lord, I pray that there will be an understanding that this is not an autocratic God who likes bullying people into a way of life, but rather that you are Abba Father, Daddy God, who says, please come, rest in my embrace. I am pulling you. I am fighting for you. Please accept my gift of grace. Give me your life and I will give you eternity. Give me your priorities and I will give you joy. Give me your heart and I will give you all that you have ever dreamt and prayed for. Want what I want you to want and you will know joy unspeakable. Father, I pray that this will be the prayer of your people here today. If there are any who would say, I don't know how to get there, oh Lord, please give me personally the opportunity to share. Give them the strength to get outside of their pride and to come and ask for help. Lord, I will humbly as a servant thank you and them for the privilege of sharing what you have for every person here if they will come and give themselves to you. Thank you for loving us enough to not only give us the truth, but to wrap it in such sweet, loving clothes. I pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.